أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Just to recap on the earlier principle, the meanings of victory, the author mentioned 11. The first one, he mentions defeating the 8 obstacles which were mentioned in the ayah. The second is defeating shaitan. That's a form of victory. The third is being included in the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. The ones who strive in our path, we will guide them. So, a mujahid is guided by Allah Azza wa Jal. By the way, some of our scholars, the early scholars, when a certain fatwa becomes a problem, an unsolvable problem for them, they say, send it to the ones who are in the front line, because Allah promised to guide them. The fourth, defeating the discouragers, the ones, the munafiqeen, who are discouraging the Muslims from jihad fi sabilillah. These are people who claim to be Muslim, they claim to be scholars, they claim to be Islamic movements, but they are enemies of jihad fi sabilillah. Fifth, being granted steadfastness if a person is sincere and honest. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And we talked about this ayah. Sixth, meaning of victory, sacrifice. A mujahid is sacrificing himself and his wealth for his aqeedah, and that's victory. Seventh, the victory of your idea, the victory of your religion. Even if you lose in the battlefield, such as the people of Uhdud, but the young man who was killed, but because of him, his da'wah spread. Well, because of his death, his da'wah spread. Number eight, Allah could destroy the enemy through a disaster, a miracle that was caused by the jihad of the mujahideen, such as the fall of the Soviet Union in the current day, or the destruction of Fir'aun and his army in the past. Nine, because of the jihad of the mujahideen, the imams of kufr end up dying on kufr and are not granted mercy of Allah. Number 10, Allah chooses shuhada from among the believers, and shahada is victory. And 11, finally, the well-known or obvious form of victory, and that's victory in the battlefield. Now we move on to the next principle, constant of jihad fi sabilillah, and that is the opposite of what he talked about in the previous point. He's now talking about definition of defeat. What does defeat mean? The wording that he used is al-hazimatu laysat bil-qatl, that defeat is not by being killed. So what does it mean then? If the enemy is killed in the battlefield, he considers that to be defeat. We don't. So what is defeat then? إِذَا كَانَ قَتْلُ الْكَافِرِ لِلْمُسْلِمِ لَا يُعَدُّ هَزِيمَ الْمُسْلِمِ بِالْنَصْرِ فَمَا هِيَ الصِّفَةُ الَّتِي نَسْتَطِيعُ نُطْلِقُ عَلَى الْمُتَّصِفِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِأَنَّهُ هُزِمَ فِي الْمَعْرَكَةِ. And then he says, وَتَأْكِيدًا عَلَى أَهَمِّ مَعَانِي الْهَزِيمَةِ نَقُولُ إِنَّ الصِّرَاعَ الْمُتَمَثِّلَ بَيْنَ الْبَشَرِ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْبَسِيطَةِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ صِرَاعٌ مَبَادِئٍ تَرَجَّمَتْهُ الشُّعُوبُ إِلَى صِرَاعِ أَبْدَانٍ. He said the conflict in its reality is a conflict of ideas that is translated into battles, physical battles. But it's in its essence, it's a conflict of ideas. وَخَاصَّ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَمَنْ سِوَاهُمْ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ فَبِمَا أَنَّ أَصْلَ الصِّرَاعِ هُوَ صِرَاعَ مَبْدَأٍ وَصِرَاعَ عَقِيدَةٍ فَبِالتَّأْكِيدِ فَإِنَّ التَّنَازُلَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَبَادِئِ وَالْمُعْتَقَدَاتِ يُعَدُّ هَزِيمَةً وَلَوْ بَقِيَتْ الْأَبْدَانُ. So, if a person gives up these ideas, then that is defeat. وَأَوَّلُ مَعَانِ الْهَزِيمَةِ يَتَمَثَّلُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. The first form of defeat is mentioned in the following verse. وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Never will the Jews nor the Christians be pleased with you till you follow their religion. Say, verily, the guidance of Allah, that is the only guidance. And if you were to follow their desires after what you have received of knowledge, then you would have against Allah neither any wali nor any helper. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فِي الْآيَةِ الْأُخْرَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Verily, if you follow their desires after that which you have received of knowledge from Allah, then indeed you will be one of the wrongdoers. So what is defeat here? Becoming like them. If you become like them, like the Jews and the Christians, Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, then indeed you will be one of al-zalimun, one of the wrongdoers. And in the previous ayah, you will not have any helper nor supporter from Allah. Allah will leave you. And then he talks about this ayah. He says, فَعِنْدَمَا يَرْتَدْ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ وَيُعْلِنُ اتِّبَاعَهُ لِمِلَّةِ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى أو أي ملة كفرية أخرى من علمانية أو بعثية أو شيوعية أو حداثية سواء كان هذا الاتباع كليا أو جزئيا فهذا يعد أعلى أنواع الهزيمة حتى لو حقق المتبع رضا اليهود والنصارى وغيرهم من ملل الكفر وحقق من الثراء والرياسة والقيادة ما لم يتحقق له بعدم اتباعه لملتين. He says, when a Muslim gives up what Allah Azza wa Jal has given him and he follows the way of the Jews or the Christians or any other way such as communism, secularism, modernism, you name it. He says, whether this following is partial or complete, he says this is the greatest form of defeat. Even if this person succeeds in achieving the pleasure of the Jews or the Christians or others and achieves power and wealth and position through this compromise, through this deal. If a person succeeds in becoming a king or a president in a particular nation by winning a landslide election, in reality, that's a defeat. It's not a victory. Yes, you made the people happy and they voted for you. That's true. But you have given up your religion, and that's the whole point of the conflict. The conflict is not you reaching to power. The issue is the religion of Allah, the laws of Allah, reaching to power. واتباع الملة ليس شرطا أن يكون من خلال إعلان المرتد بأنه على ملتهم فهذا يندر وجوده في التاريخ ولو قصر اتباع الملة ولو قصر اتباع الملة على هذا الإعلان باللسان لما استطعنا وصف أحد بالاتباع. Here he mentions an important point. Following their way here doesn't mean that you declare it publicly that you're becoming a Jew or you're becoming a Christian or you're becoming a pagan worshiper or a Hindu or whatever. Because this is rare. This is rare. It doesn't happen a lot among Muslims. But the ayah is talking about the meaning of following. You don't have to publicize it. You don't have to declare it. But if your actions and your words are of those people, similar to those people which are mentioned in the ayah, then you have followed them. And here, following the Jews and Christians, and some people might think that it necessarily means becoming a Jew or a Christian. Well, what if the Jews and Christians today are not even Jews and Christians? The ayah didn't say, the Jews and Christians will not be pleased with you until you become a Jew and Christian. That's not what the ayah said. What did the ayah say? The ayah said, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُ. Never will the Jews nor the Christians be pleased with you till you follow their way. If their way today is dumping their holy books, holy scripture, and following their own desires, and following the majority rule, then that is what is meant. If their way is secularism, where they disregard the rules of religion and follow man-made rules, then that is their way. So it doesn't necessarily mean hanging a cross. That's not what is meant. It means following their way. Because today, in the West, they've changed their religion so much. And in many occasions, their leadership is not really sincere in following religion. What they're after is wealth, greed, and power. The ayah is talking about adopting the methods of the kuffar of today. Promoting democracy is following their way. Promoting secularism is following their way. وَيَبْطُلُ اشْتِرَاطَ الْإِعْلَانِ بِاللِّسَانِ تَعْرِيفُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ لِمُسَمَّى الْإِيمَانِ حيث قالوا خلافاً لكل المبتدعة بأن الإيمان قول وعمل أي قول القلب واللسان وعمل القلب واللسان والجوارح فاتباع ملة الكفار يكون بالقول وحده أو بالعمل وحده أو بالاعتقاد وحده فلا ترابط بينهم البتة ولم يشترط الاعتقاد في قول الكفر أو عمل الكفر إلا أهل البدع من مرجع وجهمية وغيرهم. And the proof that becoming a kafir doesn't necessarily have to include declaring it is that in our definition of iman, what do we define iman to mean? What do we define belief, faith to mean? We define it as words and belief in the heart and actions. So actions are part of Iman. Words are part of Iman, and the belief in the heart is part of Iman. So same thing, kufr. Kufr can be words, it can be belief in the heart, and it can be actions. So if somebody's actions are those of kufr, if somebody's words are those of kuffar, and if somebody's belief is that of kuffar, then the ayah would apply to them. When we use this definition, we see how many Muslims are included in this verse. يقول ابن جرير رحمه الله في تفسيره على قوله تعالى ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى وليست اليهود يا محمد ولا النصارى براضية عنك أبدا فدع طلب ما يرضيهم ويوافقهم وأقبل على طلب رضا الله في دعائهم إلى ما بعثك الله به من الحق فإن الذي تدعوهم إليه من ذلك لهو السبيل إلى الاجتماع فيه معك على الألفة والدين القيم وقال شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله في اقتضاء الصراط أخبر سبحانه أنه أنعم على بني إسرائيل بنعم الدين والدنيا وأنهم اختلفوا بعد مجيء العلم بغيا من بعضهم على بعض ثم جعل محمدا anyway, he goes on to mention some words from the مفسرين وأهواءهم هو ما يهوونه وما عليه المشركون من هديهم الظاهر الذي هو من موجبات دينهم الباطل and the ayah says if we go back to the ayah ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم And if you were to follow their desires. So what is the meaning of desires in this ayah? The author says, it is what they desire and it is also their practice. And even in their appearance. The author includes even appearance in ahwa. وَتَوَابِعُ ذَلِكَ فَهُمْ يَهْوَوْنَهُ وَمُوَافَقَتَهُمْ فِيهِ اتِّبَاعًا لِمَا يَهْوَوْنَهُ وَلِهَذَا يَفْرَحَ الْكَافِرُونَ بِمُوَافَقَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي بَعْضِ أُمُورِهِمْ ويسرون به ويودون أن لو بذلوا مالا عظيما ليحصل ذلك ولو فرض أن ليس الفعل من اتباع أهوائهم فلا ريب أن مخالفتهم في ذلك أحسن لمادة متابعتهم في أهوائهم وأعون على حصول مرضات الله في تركها These are still the words of Ibn Taymiyyah. These are words from Ibn Taymiyyah. He says that the kuffar are pleased when the Muslims follow them, even in things that are classified as appearance. Even in things that are classified as appearance, the kuffar are still pleased with that. And we find the truth of this statement of Ibn Taymiyyah today, we find that the kuffar, for example, are very happy when Muslim women don't wear hijab, when it's an issue of dress code. But they made a big deal about it in France, And you find that the feminist movement and the movement of women's rights in the West is very concerned about the issue of hijab. And they always talk about it, even though it's a matter of how you dress. And if the West is so liberal and so tolerant and it allows people to wear whatever they want, how come they're very particular about this specific issue? I mean, how come this issue is causing them all of this pain? The way Muslim women dress. When you find that they dress in all types of clothes, rainbow of colors, all weird stuff, and it's very acceptable, but when a Muslim woman wants to dress modestly, that is something that concerns them. So they do care even about us following them in the way they look, the way they dress. So this is the first form of defeat. Second, and by the way, some of them are quite similar. The second one, وَمِن مَعَانِ الْهَزِيمَةِ أَيْضًا الْمُدَاهَنَةِ لِلْكَافِرِينَ And I'm going to translate مُدَاهَنَة here as compromise. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ Allah says, So, O Muhammad, obey not the deniers of the oneness of Allah. Obey them not. Don't follow their way. لَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنَ فَيُدْهِنُونَ وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ They wish that you should compromise. So they could compromise with you. They wish that you could compromise with them so that they could compromise with you. Now, the religion of Islam is completely different than any other religion for many reasons. One of them, and Islam is unique. One of them is that with other religions, the people responsible for that religion, the religious leadership, have the authority to play around with some issues in their religion. But when it comes to Islam, we are followers and we are not innovators. We follow what we are told to do. So therefore, we don't have any room to play around with the rules of Islam because they are from Allah. Now, the kuffar are willing to sit down with Rasulullah ﷺ and compromise with him. But the problem is that he cannot compromise. It's not his religion. But when it comes to them, they gave themselves the right to compromise with their religion. So for example, they came to Muhammad ﷺ and they said, how about, and this is an example of how they can compromise. They said, how about we worship Allah for a day and you worship our gods for a day. Rasulullah turned this down. They said, fine. How about we worship Allah for a week and you worship our gods for a day? Obviously, he refused. They came back and said, how about if we worship Allah for a month and you worship our gods for a day? They're playing around with their religion. They can come up with all of these offers. Rasulullah ﷺ is consistently saying, no, I do not have that right. This is the religion of Allah, and I'm here to convey it, not to change it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning us after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not to compromise. But the problem is that there are some Muslims who gave themselves the right to play around with the religion of Allah. And by doing that, they have lost. In an investigative report in U.S. News and World Report, talks about the efforts of the U.S. government to win over the hearts and minds in the Muslim world, and how this is an integral part of their war on terrorism, and how there is an unseen part of the war that is equally important, if not more important, than what is happening in the field. And they mentioned that the U.S. government is willing to sit down and work together with Muslim fundamentalists if they are willing to accept one thing: play the game according to the rules of democracy. If you accept Western democracy, we are willing to forgive you for your past. We are willing to sit down with you knowing that you are a Muslim fundamentalist. So they have this ability to compromise and play around. Muslims don't. Nevertheless, there are some Muslims, Islamic movements, who accepted this offer and sat down with the U.S. government and negotiated ways to work together. Now, I said that there was one condition from the U.S. government. It's actually not one. That was one condition I mentioned, which was to play the game according to the rules of democracy, but there's another one, and that is they accept to get involved in the war against terrorism. That's also one of the conditions of the U.S. government. Now, the justification of these Islamic movements is that, yes, we'll tell them, okay, we'll go ahead with you, but we're going to do it for the benefit of da'wah. We're going to do it for the benefit of Islam. You know, these generalizations and or generic statements that could be used for any occasion. You are fighting a ta'if al-mansura, and you are negotiating and playing around with the religion of Allah. So there is no maslaha whatsoever in what you're doing. And no matter what you gain, it's worthless. It's not worth a penny. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't need people to compromise in his religion with the kuffar to gain izzah and to gain power. Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who created the universe, and would he make his religion so weak that it cannot reach to power except if the kuffar give it the green light? Does that make sense? The religion of Allah Azza wa Jal will only reach to power after it humiliates the kuffar, because that is how Allah Azza wa Jal wants his religion to win. Al-Qurtubi says, وَكَانُوا يَدْعُونَهُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَكُفَّ عَنْهُمْ لِيَكُفُّوا عَنْهُ فَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَنَّ مُمَايَلَتْهُمْ كُفْرٌ. The kuffar of Quraysh came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. How about we make a deal? Leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. This is a democratic society. And by the way, Mecca was very similar to democratic societies of today. It's strikingly amazing how similar Mecca was in those days to the West today. the Mecca of Jahiliyyah, the Mecca of Kufr, which Rasulullah came to fight, is quite similar. It's not exactly the same, but there are striking similarities between the two. The Kuffar of Quraysh came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, all right, practice your religion freely, but leave us alone, and we will leave you alone. What did Allah Azza wa Jalla say? وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. And had we not made you stand firm, you would have nearly have inclined to them a little. Even this little inclination of leaving them alone was not approved by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, it was by the favor of Allah that He made you firm, stand firm. Otherwise, you would have inclined to them. And he mentions some other meanings of mudahana. He says, al-leen wal-musana'a, being soft with them. And then he tries to differentiate between mudara, which is allowed in Islam, and mudahana, which is not. These are two terms. I've translated mudahana as compromise. But some of the mufassirin give it another meaning, and that is being soft to the kuffar. So we're not allowed to be soft with the kuffar. But then there's something called mudara, and mudara is allowed. So what's the difference between the two? After going on, mentioning some of the opinions of scholars, probably the best way to put it was the way Al-Qadhi Iyadh put it. He said, and this was narrated by Ibn Hajar and Al-Qurtubi, he said the difference between mudahana and mudara. Inna al-mudara al-badhlu al-dunya لصلاح الدنيا أو الدين أو هما معا وهما مباحة ربما استحبت والمداهنة ترك الدين لصلاح الدنيا مدارة. مدارة is giving some of your dunya for the sake of your religion, while مداهنة is giving away some of your religion for the sake of your dunya. To give an example, you invited the kafir over for dinner to give him da'wah. Here, you have given up some of your dunya by inviting him and spending all of that money. For the sake of what? For the sake of religion. So this is something allowed. This is mudara. Mudahana is you told him that yani, you have this kafir who's a friend of yours, or he's your boss, all right? He's your boss. And you know that your pay comes through him. Yeah, and you think that your rizq, the rizq that is coming from Allah Azza wa Jalla, is actually coming from his pocket. So he comes to you and tells you, I mean, what's this thing, man, about jihad? I mean, can you explain to me what jihad means? You tell him jihad is the jihad of nafs. And there's nothing in Islam that allows using violence. Here you're giving away your religion. You're compromising in religion for the sake of what? For the sake of your dunya. So this is mudahana that is not allowed. So this is the difference between the two. The third meaning of hazima, defeat, is ar-rukun wal-mail lil-kafirin, which is, again, these are quite similar. Inclination towards al-kuffar. Inclination towards al-kuffar. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذَا لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا. Verily, they were about to tempt you away from that which we have revealed unto you, to fabricate something other than it against us. And then they would certainly have taken you as an intimate friend. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. And had we not made you stand firm, you would nearly have inclined to them a bit. So inclining towards al-kuffar is a form of defeat. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. And incline not towards those who do wrong, lest the fire should touch you, and you have no protectors other than Allah, nor would you then be helped. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning us that inclining towards al-kuffar would lead us to hellfire. The fourth meaning of defeat is obeying them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تُطْعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his own lusts, and whose affair has been lost. And the fifth meaning of defeat, وَمِنْ صُوَرِ الْهَزِيمَةِ أَيْضًا الْيَأْسُ مِنْ نَصْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَأْيِيدًا. And this is an important one. Giving up on the victory of Allah, losing hope, is very dangerous. It's a state of mind that is contrary to Iman. You trust Allah Azza wa Jal, you believe Allah is Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, and then you give up on victory, you lose hope. So this is a safa of kuffar, this is a characteristic of kuffar. They are the ones who give up. But a Muslim should never give up. And if that's the case, if psychologically your state of mind is that I'm going to win, eventually you will win by the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنَّ الْيَأْسَ كَبِيرَةٌ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ وَلَا يَيْأَسْ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُونَ. He says that it is a major sin. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ وَرَغْمْ مَعْرِفَةِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لِمَعْنَى الْيَأْسِ وَعِلْمِهِمْ بِحُرْمَتِهِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ عَمِلُوا بِهِ فِي وَاقِعِهِمْ. Even though the Muslims know that, many of them have given up. فَالْآلَةُ الْإِعْلَامِيَّةُ وَالْعَسْكَرِيَّةُ الَّتِي حَشَدَهَا الْكُفْرُ الْعَالَمِيُّ لِحَرْبِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْيَوْمِ جَعَلَتْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَدُبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْيَأْسِ وَيَنْسَى مَوْعُودَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالنَّصْرِ. He said the huge military and media campaign that the kuffar have brought forth today has caused some Muslims to lose hope. بل نسي كثير منهم كل معاني النصر فمنهم من ترك العمل والدعم للمجاهدين بحجة أن القضية خاسرة. Some of the Muslims, they have given up on supporting the mujahideen because it's the last cause. Why should I spend my money on these mujahideen? They're never going to win. وآخرون حصروا المفهوم بالغلبة والتمكين فتركوا دعم الجهاد. And some of them only understand victory to mean victory in the battlefield, and they have lost hope. ومنهم من يقول كيف ينتصر المجاهدون بأسلحتهم الشخصية على من يملكون أسلحة الدمار الشامل والطائرات والصواريخ وهم لا يملكون أيضا أداة إعلامية واحدة ليسمعوا الناس صوتهم. How can the mujahideen win? Some of these Muslims say, how can the mujahideen win when they have small arms while their enemy has weapons of mass destruction? How can the mujahideen win when their enemy controls the media and they don't have any media to reach to the people? وصور مظلمة كثيرة and many other dark ideas تحكي عن كثير من المسلمين اليأس والقنوط من نصر الله, that show that the Muslims have lost hope in Allah عز وجل. وهذه الصور بكافة أشكالها ومعانيها حتى التي ألبست لبوس الفقه الزائف كلها تعبر عن الهزيمة. ومن ثوابت درب الجهاد أن اليأس والقنوط من النصر هو الهزيمة بعينها. ونحن اليوم نرى الأمة الإسلامية لم تعمل ولم تجاهد, ولكن عدوها انتصر عليها بالتهديد والوعيد والدعاية والإعلام فقط, فلم تجابه عدوها ولم تنهض للجهاد بمجموعها, ولكنها أحسنت وضع العوائق في طريق النصر وأحسنت التعذير لهزيمتها وبررت قنوطها ويأسها وتشاؤمها بأدلة ظلمتها لتثبت فساد معتقدها. We find that many of the Ummah today have lost against the enemy without even standing up and fighting. This media campaign that the enemy is spreading around in the Muslim Ummah has caused many Muslims to give up without even giving it a chance, giving it a try. And then, after they are defeated mentally, they try to find Islamic justifications for that defeat. And they try to bring evidence to prove the correctness of their opinion. ورغم تقطع السبل وقلة حيلة المسلمين وقوة عدوهم إلا أن المسلم يجب عليه مع كل ذلك ألا ييأس من رحمة الله. He said, no matter how strong your enemy is, a Muslim should never give up on victory, never. ولا يقنط من النصر فالهزيمة الحقيقة هو أن يدب اليأس والقنوط إلى القلوب, لأننا إذا دخل قلوبنا شيئا من ذلك فمعنى هذا أننا فقدنا معنى العلو والفوز الذي وصف الله المؤمنين به. If we allow this defeat to enter into our hearts, then we have lost the superiority that Allah Azza wa Jalla has described us as having even when we lose in the battlefield. As was the case in the Ghazwa of Uhud when Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ. Don't be sorry when you are the superior. And this was, again, after the defeat of the Battle of Badr. The sixth form of defeat, giving up on the banner of jihad. Giving up on the banner of jihad is defeat. إِنَّ الْعَدُوَّ لَا يَطْلُبُ مِنَّا أَكْثَرَ مِنَ التَّخَلِّي عَنْ رَايَةِ الْجِهَادِ فِي الْوَقْتِ الْحَالِي. What does the enemy want from us today? He wants from us one thing. He doesn't want us to stop salah. Did he ever say that don't pray? The enemy doesn't want us to stop reading Quran. In fact, they give the prisoners masahif. Yes, they abuse those masahif, but they do distribute masahif to the prisoners. They never told the Muslims to stop dhikr. They never told Muslims don't build masajid. What they're asking from us today is one thing, specifically. Stop jihad. No more jihad. If we give them what they want, then we have lost. Because that's what they're asking for. So any Muslim today who's not fighting jihad fi sabilillah is supporting the enemy by giving him this victory for free. لذا فإنه يحرص على تعميم المصطلحات والألفاظ التي توحي لشباب الأمة إلى أنهم سيدخلون دائرة المراقبين والمطاردين إذا ما فكروا بحمل منهج الجهاد. And they try to spread rumors around that the moment you get involved in anything that has to do with jihad fi sabilillah, then you will be under surveillance and your life will be wrecked and that's the end of your future. فتخلي المسلمين عن تلك الراية سواء عقديا أو فكريا أو عمليا ولو لمرحلة قصيرة هذا هو معنى الهزيمة التي يوصف بها من غير مبادئه أو انقلب عليها وتبرم منها. Therefore, giving up on jihad in any form, whether it is in the form of aqidah or the form of ideas or the form of carrying our weapons and fighting, that is a sign of defeat. So he says that the number seven, giving up hope on military victory, is defeat. And then he says, number eight, fear of the enemy is death. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't fear them, but fear me if you are believers. And Allah Azza wa Jal says about the طائف المنصورة لا يخافون في الله لومة لائم. Says about the victorious group that they do not fear the blame of the blamers. Now this appears to be a constant here. He says, لا ينبغي بعد الهزيمة العسكرية أن يقول المسلمون أننا لم نستعد لها ماديا. After military defeat, the Muslims should not say that the reason why we lost is because we didn't prepare for it. He said, وهذه الآفة وإن كانت تحتاج إلى تفصيل وتحديد مطول لمفهوم الاستعداد إلا أننا سنتكلم عنها هنا من جانب واحد فقط على فرض أن المسلمين بذلوا وسعهم في الاستعداد ولم يقصروا في ذلك. He said, even though this issue needs clarification, but we're going to talk about it from one angle only, assuming that the Muslims have done their best in preparation. He said, if you have done your best in preparation, then to blame the result on lack of preparation is wrong. فإن من الخطأ أن تحمل الهزيمة العسكرية لنقص في الإعداد والاستعداد لأننا نعلم أن العدد والعدة ليست هي مقومات النصر. Because numbers and preparation are not the reasons for victory. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. And on the day of Hunayn, when you rejoiced at your great number, the Muslims were happy that they had great numbers, but it availed you not. And the earth, vast as it was straightened for you. Then you turned back in flight. When the Muslims thought that they had numbers that would give them victory, that is when they lost. We find that when Muslims are few in numbers, they win. When they are numerous, they lose. So we shouldn't blame defeat on lack of numbers. We shouldn't blame defeat on lack of numbers. كيف تترك جميع ويختزل سبيب الهزيمة في الاستعداد المادي المفترض؟ And then he says, أولما, this is an ayah, أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. What is the matter with you when a single disaster smites you, although you smote your enemies with one twice as great, you say, from where does this come to us? Say to them, it is from yourselves. So we should blame ourselves, our sins, because of your evil deeds, and Allah has power over all things. فأسباب الخسارة العسكرية كثيرة. منها الابتلاء والتمحيص ومنها التقصير والمعصية وغير ذلك من الأسباب. So losing in the battlefield could be for a variety of reasons. It could be because Allah wants to test you. It could be because Allah wants to purify you. And it could be because of your sins. So it's not a straightforward explanation. There's more than one reason, but it's not because of lack of numbers. ومن الخطأ أن ننظر لمعركة المجاهدين الأفغان مع الكفر العالمي اليوم ونحكم على تراجع المجاهدين في الميدان بأنه نتيجة للدخول في معركة غير متكافئة ماديا. He said it's a mistake to assume that the reason why the mujahideen in Afghanistan had withdrawn their forces again in their war against the global kufr, it's a mistake to assume that that is because of the lack of numbers and the lack of equipment. He said it's a mistake to make that assumption. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْكَلَامُ مَرْفُوضًا مِنَ النَّاحِيَ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَلَا يَدْعَمُهُ دَلِيلٌ لِأَنَّنَا لَمْ نُتَعَبَّدْ بِمُسَاوَاتِ الْعَدُوِّ فِي أَسْبَابِهِ الْمَادِّيَّةِ قَبْلَ قِتَالِهِ بَلْ تَعَبَّدَنَا اللَّهُ بِأَنْ نُعِدَّ الْإِسْتِطَاعَةِ. He said, because Allah did not require us to have equal preparation as the enemy, but Allah required us to have the best preparation possible. Whether that is equal, or more, or much less than what the enemy has. Allah told us, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمَّ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them whatever you can of strength. So we need to do our best in terms of preparation. Now if that best means we end up being like 10% of our enemy, that's fine. If it means being like 200% of our enemy, then that's fine. See, the thing is, the equation isn't based on what the enemy has. The equation is whether you have fulfilled the commands of Allah, which include preparing. I think this point does need further elaboration that the author hasn't done here, and he does apologize for that. Then he says, فإذا عددنا المستطاع ولو كان لا يساوي عشر معشار قوة العدو فإن هذا هو التكليف الشرعي الذي نعذر به أمام الله تعالى. He said, even if our preparation, our capability of preparation is like 1/10 of the enemy, then we have done what Allah Azza wa Jalla in His Sharia has instructed us to do. We're not going to be held accountable for that. والطالبان اليوم حققوا من وسائل القوة ما عجز المسلمون عن تحقيق عشره ولا أعني بالمسلمين المتمسلمين بل أعني المسلمين حقا والذين ليس لهم دولة. He said, and Taliban have prepared strength that other Muslims have failed to do. And they have done their part in terms of preparation. So he excuses them in this regard. He says that they have done their part in terms of preparation. والإمارة الإسلامية كانت عالمة بقوتها وتعرف تمام المعرفة قوة العالم المجتمع عليها وتعرف وسائله الحربية وطرقه الإجرامية وقد جربتها من قبل. And he said the Taliban know the extent of the strength of the enemy. They know that. إلا أنها قررت دخول الحرب بما معها من قوة. Nevertheless, it decided to enter into this war. لأنهم تيقنوا بأن النصر ليس بالمادة بل إن النصر من الله تعالى. Because they realize that victory is not based on the weapons that you have, but it's based on the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. هذه المعالم التي ذكرناها آنفا واعتقدنا غيرها يعد آفة تنخر في جسد الأمة لترديها قتيلة أو أسيرة بين يدي العدو. لذا الانطلاق من تلك المفاهيم وغيرها الكثير الكثير والتي رسخها لنا القرآن يعد هو أول خطوات النصر. فينبغي على العلماء والدعاة وطلبة العلم أن يرسخوا تلك المفاهيم وبالأدلة الشرعية في نفوس العامة والخاصة. فترسيخ هذه المبادئ وما يماثلها والانطلاق من خلالها لتصدير هذا الدين بشعيرة الجهاد كما فعل الجيل الأول هو الطريق النبوي والهدي المبين، مع الأخذ بالاعتبار عدم إلغاء غيرها من الشعائر فالدين كل لا يتجزأ. He said these principles that we talked about are the first step towards victory, because the opposite to these principles are ideas that would kill the ummah, and we need to get rid of them. So having the right understanding, having the right mindset, having the right aqidah is the first step towards victory. And without it, we have no chance, because this is, as we said, a battle of aqidah. It's a battle of truth versus falsehood. This is the end of the book. He mentions, finally, in the end, a principle that he doesn't comment on. And I'll just read it. He says, فَشَلُ النَّتَائِجِ لا يدل على بطلان المقدمات. The failure of the results is not an indication of a false plan or false means. You could plan things right, but then the results turn otherwise. So we cannot say that because the results didn't come out as expected, that means our plan was wrong. He says this is not a correct understanding. But he doesn't elaborate on this point any further. Anyway, this is the end of the book, Thawabat ala Darb al-Jihad, Constance on the Path of Jihad. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept this effort from us, to benefit us from this knowledge. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to, since we have benefited from the author, we need to give thanks to him. And the way we can say thank you to the author is by making dua for him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give him the highest status of shahada. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give him a high status in Jannah, in Jannat al-Firdaus. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless the knowledge that he has documented with his pen. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it knowledge that will benefit the mujahideen of this ummah. And for us, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, everyone who's listening, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us from this knowledge and to make us of those who practice what they learn and not of those who learn for the sake of learning and they don't do anything with the knowledge that they learn. See, in our religion, al-ilmu lil-amal, knowledge is for practicing it. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who learn and practice what they learn. Whatever good was mentioned is from Allah, and the mistakes are from myself. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.